Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is Jack Benny talking.
Jordan, Rocky Jordan.
Have you ever danced with a murderer?
This is Orson Welles, speaking from London. King County.
Now, a few moments back in the golden age of radio, as a way of thinking about the future of radio, Buddy Guy talked about how the blues never dies. Old radio never dies.
Not if I can keep it alive.
Katie Sewell's here. All right. Sound effect. We talk about sound all the time. You're thinking about sound effects.
Well, I mean, think about it, Steve. If you were living in the golden age of radio, would you have wanted to be a sound effects guy?
Maybe. I am in the golden age of radio, but go ahead.
You probably wouldn't have, actually. Not in the early days, anyway.
Why?
Most sound effects men had absolutely no training because there was no training to get. It was brand new, and it usually was a position that went to the junior man, the lowest man on the radio staff. And oftentimes, it wasn't even a paid position.
They didn't get paid?
Yeah. It actually took about...
But they did it for love or something?
It was sort of like what we would have made the interns do.
Oh, man.
You know, here, make some sound effects. Do a good job. You know, we'll see if we can move you up the ladder. It actually took about 3 decades before well-trained, highly skilled sound men became an integral part of the radio dramas. And even still, they were rarely ever mentioned in the credits.
And men, huh?
Yeah, and they were mostly men. There was a small handful of women who did it, which maybe one day we should look into, but it was kind of a man's field. People usually think that sound effects during the Golden Age were made manually, completely, which wasn't actually true. Many of them came from records, especially if it was something that was easier to cue on a record, like a crowd or an engine sound or any of these things. That it's better to just put the needle somewhere than have to create a crowd sound.
You're taking all the romance away from it.
And, you know, records are cheap and reusable, which radio executives liked. But manual effects were used a lot of the time when they were easier than cueing a record. And the sound effects men liked doing it because they felt they had more control about how they were engaging with the actors if they were making the sound instead of trying to get the record to play at
the
time.
Yeah, they get to be the artists.
Yeah. So I definitely plan to do a longer segment on radio sound effects, but since we're pressed for time, I thought we would just do a few experiments of how radio sound effects were made. First, let's start with this one. Walking in snow.
Walking in snow, sure.
So, how do you make that? Do you have any idea?
I do, not just because it's in front of me, but because I do remember reading about it once.
Yeah, squeezing a box of cornstarch. Here's a really slow example where you can really hear the cornstarch. See, you can hear them squeezing the box.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about opening a champagne bottle?
No, that's not a real champagne bottle. What is it, punch gun?
No, that's the sound of pulling a wet cork out of a bottle and then popping a balloon. And that sound is actually a fine example of why certain manual sound effects just don't sound right in modern times, because our sound technology has improved so much and radio sounds so different that now we expect a champagne bottle to sound like this.
Yeah.
See, and you can hear the cork fall, but that's not how they did it back in the day.
Yeah, I think those guys didn't know how to drink champagne.
Yeah. So should we do a few more?
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one. That's a body falling in water.
Yeah.
There's a larger one. And they made that by pulling a large bucket or can out of a tub of water. So reaching down and pulling it up was how that sound is actually made.
That's kind of cool.
How about a rattlesnake?
So that's what, a rattle? What is it?
It's 6 to 8 BBs that are stapled into a Dixie cup and then shaken as fast as they possibly can shake it.
Oh, I see. They're in a Dixie cup.
Yep. Shaking it back and forth.
Sure. Okay.
All right. What if you want to pay with some change?
Well, that doesn't sound like money.
Yeah. Well, you don't use real change because I guess real change doesn't sound right. Those are metal washers dropping onto a table.
Well, that was metal. I didn't even recognize it as metal.
I would have loved to find you a vintage recording of crickets, but now it's a lot easier to find just people going out in a field and taping it and putting it all over the web. But I loved that they used to make the sound of crickets by running a fingernail along the edge of a comb. And I couldn't find an example of it. I looked everywhere. And then, you know, finally, I thought I'd just leave you with a horror story. Because, you know, making sound effects wasn't without its hazards. You know, you did take some risk working with knives and guns and whatnot. So imagine that I'm going to throw a knife at you in the scene, and it's going to hit, instead of hitting you, it's going to hit the wall behind you.
Katie Sewell throws knives.
Here's what it would sound like. Well, actually, it probably wouldn't be that dramatic.
that sounds like Bugs Bunny or Wile E. Coyote throwing a knife.
It wouldn't have been that dramatic in the Golden Age, but that's the only one I could find that was even remotely like that. But the sound was originally made by taking a real knife and plunging it into a block of wood. And there was one CBS sound effects guy that preferred to hold a little block of wood in his hand and then plunge the knife into it with his other hand. And of course, all of his coworkers kept saying, "You're going to miss. You're going to miss one day. You really should put it on the table and hit it." And he thought it sounded better if it was in his hand. But of course, what happened, Steve? Of course, one day he did miss while plunging the knife into this little thing of wood, and there was blood everywhere, and he passed out, which you can imagine is not only bad for the hand, but bad for a radio broadcast as well.
All right. That's just ridiculous that guy did that. All right, so what do people want to mess with sounds? What
if
do you
they
want
to mess with sounds, I put a couple links on our website. One is just my favorite sound effects database that's on the web. They're all free. They're fun to play around with. And then another one is a how to build your own sound effects from the Golden Age of Radio guide.
So, great.
Yeah, so you can build your own thunder-making machine if you want to this afternoon.
All right, very good. We'll see if that happens. Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome.